Once again, good morning. It's good to see everybody on this beautiful Sabbath morning. Sun shining out there, even though it's a few snow flurries this morning. But this Thanksgiving weekend that we've had here, come together to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And looking at the responsive reading in both of them, you can understand what I'm going to be talking about. Our Ten Commandments that we have to go by. And we can be thankful thankful each and every day. You know, we just don't have to wait till Thanksgiving, but each and every day, and especially on a Sabbath day, to be thankful. Thankful for God, thankful for His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior and our Redeemer. Thankful for our family, thankful for where we are in life. And we know that we can be thankful for this Sabbath day that comes every week. And then we have already read what we really can truly be thankful in this responsive reading. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Thankfulness that we can have because of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we have come together once again, Father, into your presence to worship thee, to honor and praise thy holy name this Sabbath day, we just ask for guidance and direction that we can truly be yours. We allow the Holy Spirit to be the one to guide us and direct us. And even when we fall off the pathway, that he is there to put us back on the path and to continue along with us so that we may truly be your children forever and ever. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Talk about the law here. Ephesians 2, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. In order to understand this law here spoken in Ephesians 2, it's necessary to understand that, Ephesians 2:15. Yeah. It's necessary to understand the two sets of laws given to ancient Israel by God through his prophet Moses. And we all know that in Exodus 20, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 7, through 17, we find the law of God contained there, the 10 precepts, called the 10 commandments that are our guide. And you turn to the book of Leviticus to find the law of the animal sacrifices, which is called the ceremonial law or the law of ordinances. And the 10 commandments of law of Exodus 20 is the law of righteousness and what we are to go by. It explains the very character of God in a law which shows that we can be born again by the Holy Spirit. And we have it written in our hearts, to have this Ten Commandments written in our hearts. If you turn to Hebrews 8:10. We read there, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." And yes, he is to be our God, and we are to be his people. And if you turn to chapter 10, also there in Hebrews, verses 16 and 17. "This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." To have our sins, our iniquities blotted out. What a wonderful promise that we have from God. To have this law written in our hearts, written in the hearts of the children of men, so that we can become the children of God and heirs to the royal kingdom that God has prepared for each one of us. You know, without this law written in our hearts, we know that we can never belong to God. We have to have this heart, this law written in our hearts. And it was this very law that God himself spoke from Mount Sinai and then wrote it on two tables of stone with his very finger, Exodus 21 and Exodus 31:18. We can see that where he did that. And it is this law, the psalmist says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. If you turn to Psalms 19:7, we see that's where that is written. Psalms 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And we can see there as we notice that what he says, this law is the Lord's, it is perfect, and it converts the soul. And we know that if anything is perfect, it can't be improved on. Even though man tries to do it, they say they things have perfect, but they always try to improve on it and improve on it. But with God, everything is perfect and it cannot be improved on. And we can't throw it away, never. We have to keep this Ten Commandment law. It converts the soul, and it's just what the Bible says, that it will be done to every sinner before they can have eternal life. And we know that exactly to be true. We have to have this law written in our hearts. So we keep the Ten Commandment law. We know that it's good news for us, and it's still valid today. Even today, where many people think that it's been done away, we know that it has not, though. And again, the psalmist says that concerning the testimonies, the precepts that they're talking about, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Psalms 119, verse 152. And let's look at that a little closer, you know. He's founded the law forever, these testimonies. And can sinful man do away with them? And we know that today that they're trying to do away with that so much, you know. We're thankful that we live in this country, the United States, but our freedoms are slowly being taken away from us. They're slowly being diminished into things that we don't have any control over, but we know that we cannot take away from God's Ten Commandments. And it's no wonder that the world is filled with crime and evil. It is this law that God has said, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Psalms 89, verse 34. And we just know that he does anything that goes from his lips, he will not alter. Jesus taught that while man living on earth, it's possible for God to be that there, as we see that, to love God. Jesus loved everybody. God loves him. And it's taught in the parable of the Good Samaritan and Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 28, and also about the rich young ruler, Matthew 19, verses 16 through 19. We know that no man can enter heaven without being a command keeper. That's Revelation 22, 14. We have to keep the law to be able to be there. We know also, though, that the law is not what saves us. And this law, where was it placed? Where was this law placed? Well, in our hearts. But where did Moses place it? The law was placed inside the Ark of the Covenant for safekeeping, Exodus 40:20. But the law of the animal sacrifices and burnt offerings found in the book of Leviticus, even though this law was perfect, it was not to continue forever, you know. And in Hebrews 9:1, if you turn there, Hebrews 9:1. We read there, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. And this law was called the commandments of ordinances, and it pointed always to the first coming of our Savior. and his death on the cross always pointed to that. I mean, every animal sacrifice of the divine service pointed to that one great sacrifice, which our blessed Lord would be obliged to keep for us on our each one of our behalfs. You know, when Jesus hung on the cross, type, which is a ceremonial law of ordinances, had met its anti-type, Christ the real sacrifice. Yes, Christ was the real sacrifice. And at that time, the law of ordinances, of the animal ordinances, was done away with for never more to be used again. It was written by Moses, dictated by God, and it was placed in on the side of the Ark of the Covenant, Deuteronomy 31, verses 24 through 26. And this ended the law of animal sacrifices, called the Law of Commandments, contained in ordinances. And this is what the Apostle Paul was trying to teach to the Gentiles. And we read and turn right over to chapter 9 there, or 10 in Hebrews, verses 8 and 9. You see there what he was trying to teach to the Gentiles. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O Lord, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. No. He taketh away the first, that's the animal blood, that he might establish the second. That was the blood of remission of sins. And I always like verses 10, 14, and 16 also there, if you look at that. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Verse 16, this is a covenant that I will make with them after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And that's where we need to have that law, right here in our hearts. And that's what was very in the beginning with Adam and Eve. They were to have that law written in their hearts. So we know that he was telling the Ephesians that at one time that the Jewish nation alone was the people of God, for the people of God, and that the Gentiles were without hope and without God in the world. But through the sacrifice of Jesus, we know that that was changed. It was the death of Christ that changed that and broke down that middle partition so that that separation that separated the Jews and Gentiles, where that separation was no more. And he abolished that in his flesh, that thing which was enmity between them. That is the commandment of ordinances, making both classes of people all in one in Jesus Christ. And there is no difference today. All people, whether you're black or white, whatever color you are, what race you are, what ethnic group you belong to, we can all be one in Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:14. If you turn there, Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And this is what was nailed to the cross, the ordinances, never the Ten Commandments, as the people try to say today that the Ten Commandments are done away with. They're there for us, for God's people, and we are to abide by them, you know. And today, God has no particular nation of people, because both Jews and Gentiles are the same to him. And that is true, that there is no particular people. But whosoever will may come. And we just know that, we just pray that we obey the Ten Commandments as much as possible, and that we are truly children of the living God. We know that we're going to falter in many respects, you know, but we know that we have Jesus there to pick us up. If we repent of our sins, we know that we will be acceptable to him, and that we can have eternal life. Each one of us can belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can help others. We have a responsibility given to us by God to be true representatives of the heavenly kingdom, to give the gospel message, to show to the world that Jesus is coming again, that he loves them, and that we need to be prepared for that day that's coming soon. We know that some of us will pass away before that happens, but there's others here that will be alive at that time, and I just pray that on that day that each one of us will be ready for his coming and glorify in all of his glory that he will bring with us. Yes, our Heavenly Father, thank you that he hides us in the depths of our soul. Father, we are yours, and we pray, Father, that as we go from this place with the law written in our hearts, that we will live by it, and that we will help others to understand it and also to live by it, to know that it is not done away with, that it will be forever and ever, and that one day soon we will be with Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father, for that blessed assurance that we have. In Jesus' precious name, amen.